You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know, I don't even know why I post on Instagram because Morales bags on every single post.
It's true. Whatever you put out there, he's looking for dirt.
It is hashtag artistic genius, and I'm sure I could work out a deal where you could buy a print of that painting.
Oh, please.
Instagram at Venice Mace. All right.
Hey, maybe you could give it to Lindsay Theory as a wedding gift.
As a wedding gift, yeah. Lindsay Theory is online right now. She's a Rams beat reporter. Lindsay, how you been?
Oh, good, guys. I'm now looking at my place trying to find an open wall for Mason's artwork.
Yeah, that would be, and Mason would be very disappointed, Lindsay, if he puts that in a frame and sends it to you and you don't display it.
Yeah, and by the way, if it's a wedding gift, but you can also buy a print if you want.
Why would she buy a print? She's friends with you.
Oh, she's right. Yeah, I'll give you a print. So, that's Lindsay, what's the story on the wedding? Do you now have official dates and stuff?
Well, I am happy to say that we send out like a 3 month continue save the date notice. Apparently, that's a thing we have to do with weddings these days. It's still May 28th, guys. I don't know. I think our wedding planner, myself, and my fiance, we're erring on the side of extreme optimism at this point that we'll be able to have a few guests.
No. You'll be able to do something. It just may not have like the people. If you do your guest list in tiers, if you had five tiers, the guys on tier four and tier five are in big, big trouble. But one, two, and three still have a realistic shot.
Let me tell you what it is like having to divide your friends into tiers. It is this is as uncomfortable as it could ever get. I mean, okay. I don't know what I did to deserve this.
No, Lindsay, can I give you? I'll give you the hill to die on that I didn't die on when I got married, and I wish I would have. Looking back, you have to have a deal that you can't invite that if the person that you're debating has never met either one of you. So in other words, it's like somebody your mom's making
mom's
you bring,
friend.
Your husband's mom's making them bring, and that's where you got to draw the line. Just like if
you guys, that's the easy stuff. Like that is the easiest part. Now, when you try going from like 50 to 35 people, and you have to decide like is your childhood best friend's mother coming? I mean,
no.
That is when things get really, really weird.
Yeah. No, I disagree. She's in. She's 100% in.
Wait a minute, Lindsay. Why wouldn't Lindsay have a second friend of hers rather than her friend's mom?
Your childhood friend's mom. That's important.
Yeah, and if you were at their house as a kid growing up, then if you invite that mom, what if you
right.
There's another
then
mom
you open the door for all the other moms.
Yeah, it's
Lindsay,
a mess.
If you want
it's
somebody, if you want somebody who's or two people who literally don't care who we offend, give the people you're cutting to Mason and I, and we will make those calls for
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, we'll make the calls. I don't care.
Yeah.
Mom's best friend from high school.
I know
I
you're Lindsay's best friend's mom. You're out. Sorry. Click. Let's talk about the Rams.
Yeah.
Lindsay, answer this any way you want. What do the Rams hope Matthew Stafford brings that Jared Goff didn't bring?
You know, I think just consistency at the quarterback position. You know, when you look at what Jared was doing the last couple seasons, he wasn't as consistent as they hoped he would be. This offense kind of changed shape, changed form. Sean McVay felt like he had to kind of call plays perfect for Jared Goff, and the whole
right.
operation tightened up. So I think when they look at Matthew Stafford, I didn't get used to saying that. They look at a guy who can obviously make all those throws, and I think maybe might have kind of just that next level. I don't want to say intelligence, but next level kind of NFL smarts that maybe they're looking for.
The Rams had the best defense in the league last year, and there are two guys who are free agents, Leonard Floyd and John Johnson, that I think were critical to their success. Now, I missed this. Are the Rams going to use a franchise tag on anybody?
No, not that I know of. They haven't indicated that the franchise tag is a real possibility. Obviously, they're looking at a little bit of a strain when it comes to that salary cap this year.
Do you think that Leonard Floyd and John Johnson are guys they're going to be able to retain, or are they just gone?
I think they're gone. If you look at Leonard Floyd, I actually wouldn't be surprised if he ends up still playing at SoFi Stadium, perhaps for the Chargers. I know Brandon Staley kind of helped revive his career this year, so that would be kind of an interesting destination for him. But when you look at pass rushers, those guys tend to get paid. You know, Dante Fowler did so a year ago. Now it's Leonard Floyd's turn, so I would expect him to be gone. And then same thing with John Johnson. You know, I know the Rams paid Jalen Ramsey, and obviously he's a unique case in that he is a historic-type talent. But typically the Rams do not spend a ton of money in the secondary. So I would anticipate that John Johnson will earn a larger payday elsewhere.
Lindsey, Mason just referred to the NFC West as the best division in football. I think he's right. As we sit here right now, the four quarterbacks in the NFC West are Matthew Stafford, Kyler Murray, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Russell Wilson. Do you think Garoppolo and Wilson are still in those chairs when the season starts?
I do, yeah. You know, the Jimmy Garoppolo one is interesting. That's kind of flown under the radar a bit this season because there's just been so much quarterback chatter, and the 49ers have done a pretty good job at keeping a lot of their intentions or a lot of their maybe shopping quiet. But I do expect that Jimmy Garoppolo will still be in San Francisco, and I also do expect that Russell Wilson will remain in Seattle, though seems like they have a little bit of work to do to repair a relationship and make everybody happy up there.
Is San Francisco, do you think, in on any of the big quarterbacks who are going to move, or are they really sticking with Garoppolo?
No, I do think they're in. I would imagine that they're in, you know, looking and seeing what's available, who's available. You know, there has been some talk about maybe Deshaun Watson there. The Texans right now aren't really listening to any offers. And who knows what the 49ers are really able.
We lose you, Lindsey?
Lindsey's, yeah, I think we lost Lindsey.
Oh, we lost her. Wow, we're having a weird technical day.
Yeah, it's weird. I got lost for a while. Lindsey got lost there. I was watching the Golden Globes last night, John. Very first guy on mute giving a speech.
Well, I was I was working the game, but I had my tweet deck open, and the one kind of common thing that kept coming back about the Globes was that they had massive technical problems, like more than people were talking about how it looked. Somebody compared it to a Wayne's World production.
Oh yeah, I mean it's got to be impossible to do. And the very first guy, Daniel Kaluuya, who won for Judas and the Black Messiah, gave a speech and his mic was not on.
Somebody
he ultimately got on the air, but he was on mute.
All right. Well, speaking of mute, we've got Lindsey back. Thank goodness.
Oh, good.
Sorry, guys.
No worries. Lindsey, if there were several, and there have been since Sean McVay's arrived, several coaching changes each year that Sean's been here. Most of the time, it's because, like in the case of Brandon Staley this year, it's because guys got a better gig. Like the guy got the head job in Cincinnati or the head job in Green Bay, or Brandon Staley this year, head job at the Chargers. But there were some coaching changes also this year that had nothing to do with that. There was just turnover. Did any of the Ram coaching changes surprise you?
They did. You know, I have to say I was a little bit surprised. I know Sean McVay said that, you know, coaches on staff are basically interviewing for a job every day. But I was a bit surprised to hear that this year there was not more of a formal opportunity for Joe Barry and for Aubrey Pleasant. Obviously, both those guys end up leaving and taking jobs elsewhere. I was stunned to find out that offensive line coach Aaron Cromer is no longer with the team. That was for the timing of that quite long after the season and whatnot, that was a bit surprising. But you know, as it goes, obviously there's always turnover every year. I think they obviously promoted a lot from within to fill some of those roles, which was nice to see. So I think this year is probably going to look a little bit different than most previous years, just because of those turnovers really at the key kind of position places there for the Rams.
You know, obviously Sean McVay still has the magic touch, at least in the eyes of the rest of the league. I mean, we've lost Zach Taylor, Matt LaFleur, now Brandon Staley. It's why do they always raid us?
Well, I think, you know, what is it? Is it if you're anywhere near Sean McVay, you're going to get a head coaching job, right? Raheem Morris, yeah. I mean, he's one and done. It seems like Gary Klein and I are the only ones that stick around for too long, right? I think that the Rams, when you really look at that staff that Sean built a couple years ago, it was a lot of kind of young, up-and-coming coaches. I mean, obviously, you had the kind of the veteran coaches, but when you look at the Aubrey Pleasants, when you look at I know another coach I'm really surprised they were able to retain was Jiro Everett. He's a great, great safeties coach. He's taking over the entire secondary. So there's a lot of guys who Sean McVay's hired that are young up-and-comers, and I think that it only kind of lends itself to those guys going on to bigger opportunities.
All right, Lindsay, last thing for me. As you probably have heard, Mason has season tickets in the new SoFi Stadium.
Yes.
And when we went over there and toured it, I'm not exaggerating, he may have the best seats in the whole building. I mean, he's like literally right at midfield in a like perfect space up. What are you hearing about whether or not Mason's actually going to get to use his seats? What is your gut feel about the status of fans at SoFi fall?
Lindsay.
And I know
on,
I'm asking you to speculate, but just tell us what you know.
My gut feeling is the same as my gut feeling about my wedding. I don't know. I don't have a clue. Does anyone know?
No.
I mean, this is all up to Gavin Newsom right now and what they're in the LA County Health Department and what they're going to allow. So, I mean, there's been absolutely no discussion of anything. I mean, you would hope the way things are trending and the success stories around the country that hopefully LA will be not far behind of at least letting a few fans in. But that's all speculation at this point, and your guys' guess is as good as mine. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of updates coming from either the county health department or the state capitol as far as when restrictions are going to be eased.
I believe I'm going to be there, Lindsay. I believe I'm going to get my two shots. I'm going to live my best life. I'm going to be at SoFi Stadium for the opener. That's the way I feel.
Boom.
Boom.
I like your optimism.
All right. Hey, Lindsay, I will look in my mailbox for the save the date for your wedding. Because
yeah,
I have.
By the way, Lindsay, it's an absolute no-brainer if you have to cut either Mason or Ireland as to who you send the invite to. I guarantee you, if you invite me, I will RSVP no and send you something off your registry. If you invite Mason, he will not only show up, but he'll give you that painting of the wilted flower
yeah.
as a wedding gift.
I will.
This is a no-brainer for you.
I'll just tell you right now, I'll have the steak. It's a steak and fish option. I'm going to go with the steak, okay?
You guys are the best.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there's Lindsay Theory,
you know,
our Rams
totally
beat reporter.
I'm like, I'm a way better wedding guest than you because I'm not going, and I'm getting them something good.
You know, most of the weddings I really don't go to, but Lindsay, I really like. She's
I know
my
you
house.
Would you'd feel obligated to go.
Yeah, I mean, I've met her fiance. He's a nice guy. He's a pilot and all that stuff. So I would probably feel obligated to go, and I would do that for Lindsay. I would absolutely go.
RSVP, no. Buy you something off the registry. Done in 5 minutes.
There you go.
Win-win.
All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff in sports that we haven't gotten to yet. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I just heard the news that Lazy Ireland is taking days off coming up.
Yeah, so somebody else
so
can win
lazy.
Game at games this month.
Nice.
I predict it will be Lindsay.
I predict it will not be me. I don't Google. All right, Stan Kasten sent a video to season ticket holders last week saying he's hopeful that there will be some fans at Dodger Stadium for opening day. Dodgers working with state and county officials. Now, let's say it's 20% of the stadium is full. Let's just suppose that, except the hypothetical. Should you go ahead and unveil the World Series banner, or should you wait until more fans can be there?
It's a great question. I think you have to unveil it. The Lakers have decided not to unveil the banner until they get some fans back in the building. I don't know if they will reveal it. I haven't asked this question, if there are just partial fans in there. Here's the problem with waiting. The complexion and the roster of a team changes with each and every season. So you could have if you wait until you have full fans back in Dodger Stadium, it could be a completely different roster.
Yeah, sure.
So I think as soon as you get 20% enough. If you get 20% in, I would hang the banner. How about you?
Yeah, I would too. Remember, it's a television event too. I mean, it's something you see on TV. Most people, I mean, even in a full stadium, most Dodger fans would not be able to see it. So it's really a television event. And yeah, I think you go ahead and you do it. You give out the rings and you unveil the banner and all that stuff. I would do it on opening day, I think, which is April the 14th. April the 14th is opening day. It is Colorado, I think, is the opening day opponent. I think we'll probably see it on opening day as long as there are some fans in the building. It's to you.
All right, Mace, the Russell Wilson situation in Seattle is getting interesting. Over the weekend, LaToya Cantrell, the mayor of New Orleans, posted a one-minute video on social media directly recruiting Wilson to come to the Saints, even though he's under contract to the Seahawks. Here's the one-minute video. Hit it, Jorge.
I've heard the rumors now, and I want to make sure that you understand that the city of New Orleans is a place for you and your beautiful family. I'm LaToya Cantrell, mayor of the city of New Orleans, and I know, Mr. Wilson, that you will be a great addition to the New Orleans Saints. And more importantly, I can see us in that number winning that Super Bowl championship once again. And what else I can see? The Mrs. Ciara Wilson herself on that main stage during the historical Essence Festival. Just wanted to stop in to let you know that we not only admire you, we want you. Love you, man. Love Ciara. Love your beautiful family. The culture of the city of New Orleans awaits you.
I mean, there's just nothing subtle about that.
No. She's playing a Ciara song. That is Level Up. Level Up.
And again, I want to make this clear. Wilson's not a free agent. He's under contract to Seattle. But
he has
said
that if he were to be traded, that this was one of the teams he would accept.
Right, and because of that, the mayor of New Orleans is getting aggressive. Now, in response to this, Jenny Durkin, the mayor of Seattle, tweeted this, quote, "I love you, Mayor, but keep your eyes off of at Danger Russ Wilson. His home is Seattle. Hashtag Go Hawks. And so you know, Seattle is in the market for an NBA team. Don't make me go there," end quote.
Wow.
So Seattle's mayor is basically threatening to steal the Pelicans if the Saints steal Russell Wilson. Good look or bad look, Mace, that politicians are getting involved with this story.
I say it's a fun look. I think it's great that these two mayors are going at it. Why not? I mean, it's something, it's a good, healthy rivalry. If I was New Orleans, if I was the Saints, I would love to welcome Russell Wilson and his wife, Ciara. I would love that. I think it's actually kind of fun. I think Seattle will be an expansion franchise. They will not actually steal a team from another city.
I agree with you. And I also agree with you about the involvement of the politicians. The funny thing is, if somebody who actually worked for the Saints or the Seahawks did what these two mayors did, it'd be like $1 million tampering fine. But because they're not affiliated in any way, they just
tamper
go
away.
Go. All right, it's to you.
Go Hawks.
Stolen directly from Greeny's show this morning, every day from 9 to 11 here on 710 ESPN. Let's say you are the owner of the brand new Seattle Supersonics franchise. And part of that deal is, as an NBA expansion team, you get to choose any single NBA player to start your franchise with. You just get them. Who do you choose?
LeBron.
Wait a minute. You're starting a franchise.
Oh, then AD.
You start with AD.
Now, probably not. Nope. By the way,
both of those answers, tremendous homer answers.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so I'll give you an honest answer.
Yeah.
Luka.
Yeah, it's Luka. I mean, it's Luka.
Luka turns 22 today, by the way.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, Zion is 19. He's an interesting choice. But I worry about injuries with him. Luka just seems rock solid to me.
Yep. I mean, two teams already made the mistake of not taking him.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Suns and the Kings passed on him to let the Mavericks get him, and those franchises will probably regret that forever. Phoenix probably less so than Sacramento. I mean, DeAndre Ayton looks like he's going to be a good player, but Marvin Bagley.
Yeah, he's no Luka. Marvin Bagley, what a bust.
Is not Luka.
What a bust.
It's probably Luka.
Yeah, I say it's Luka too. What do you got?
All right. Mace, after Tiger Woods got into his accident last week, word started to spread that a lot of people were going to wear Tiger's Sunday outfit. Red shirt, black pants to show support for Woods yesterday. Tons of people did this on the men's tour, the women's tour, the senior tour, all over the world. Tiger was touched by it and tweeted thanks on social media. What surprised me was the players who didn't do it. The top four yesterday in Florida all skipped the red shirt. Colin Morikawa, Victor Hovland, Billy Horschel, and Brooks Koepka all passed. Tiger has made all of these guys rich just by showing up. He's driven the purse by tens of millions.
Wow.
So it seemed like a layup to me that everybody would wear red. Are you surprised or am I making something out of nothing?
No, I actually think it's a great tribute. I mean, it's Tiger Woods. I love the idea that everybody wore red. I don't actually – what's the criticism? I don't get it.
No, I'm saying what – not only would I not criticize anybody who wore red, I'm just wondering why I thought everybody would do it.
You're saying there's some people that aren't doing it.
No, that didn't do it at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't get the memo. You said they were the leaders. Were they in the first group?
No, but this, Lindsay, Michael Eaves tweeted this as an idea. What day did Tiger get in the accident? Tuesday or Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Michael Eaves tweeted this as an idea, like, Tuesday, and people started doing it. And most big name guys did it. Jason Day did it. Justin Thomas did it. Tommy Fleetwood did it. Like, I would feel very, for lack of a better term, disrespectful if I showed up and everybody else was wearing a red shirt with black pants and I showed up wearing like a tan shirt with a khaki. I mean, it just seemed like an easy thing to do. And
for
I'm surprised,
everybody to do.
Right. I'm just surprised that the leaders didn't do it. I mean, maybe some of them have clothing contracts, but I know every company that makes clothes could give you a red shirt with black pants.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Cool tribute. Cool tribute. Yeah, I'm surprised everybody didn't do it. All right, last thing for you here. The New York Knicks won last night.
Again,
they improved to 18-17, above 500. Listen to Knicks fans outside MSG last night.
Let's go, Knicks! Yeah! Let's go! Yeah!
There you go. You get some flavor. The Knicks are now, if everything froze today and nobody played any more games, they would be the 4 seed in the East. So Julius Randle's having a good year. RJ Barrett is good. They traded for Derrick Rose, and he's been solid. How good are the New York Knicks, and do they have reason to celebrate the way they did?
First of all, look no further than Ben Lyons, who I'm not convinced was not that guy screaming on that tape that you just played. Knicks fans are so delusional that they've been. If you ask the Knicks fans when's the last time the Knicks were good, they would say last year that the Knicks were good. They're so desperate for a winner. I actually think I love Julius Randle. I'm a big Randle guy. I think Tom Thibodeau is a really good hire. I think the Knicks are making the playoffs, and they have every reason to be excited. And is Mace, you lived there for a while. Is there anything better than an obnoxious, drunken Knicks fan?
No. I mean, I was there the year Jeff Van Gundy was there, and they made the run to the – what year was that?
99.
I was living in New York at that point. And so I got to be part of that. It is – the Knicks are an institution in New York. And, you know, very much like the Giants, it's a Knicks and Giants fan town. Those are sort of the upscale fans. And then the, I don't want to say downscale, but the working class fans, I think, are Mets and they are Jets. But, yeah, no, Knicks is a huge, huge brand in New York. And I understand why they're crazy. Julius Randle's been really good. I mean, he was marginally.
He's an all-star.
Yeah, he made the all-star team. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's great for the Knicks. The East is so bad, just top to bottom. I think the East is terrible. And who knows? The Knicks could win a playoff series this year.
Right. I think the East is a two-horse race. Brooklyn and Philly. That's it.
Yeah, and everybody else is right around 500 right now. The best you're going to do. So, yeah, but I think it's fun that the Knicks fans are enjoying it. Congratulations to our friend Ben Lyons. All right, John, coming up next for you, hear a guy win $4.6 million in a crazy way, plus money from something called Charizard. That's coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, money. What's going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. John, so we've talked about this kind of stuff before, that there are trading cards that become very, very valuable. And there's a company called Panini that makes very,
Panini
very...
Panini like the sandwich?
Yeah, it looks like the sandwich. Yeah, it sounds okay. Like the sandwich. Makes very, very high-end sports trading cards. You open a pack, and each card is personally signed autographed, plus a piece of their NBA jersey, and it's a hologram.
Okay.
And here is a guy that opened a pack of those Panini cards and found a Luka Doncic.
Logo Man, patch auto, one of one, Luka Doncic. Boom! Woo, my gosh. I don't even want to touch it, bro. Woo! Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so there you have it. John, that card sold for $4.6 million.
No kidding.
That card that he found in a pack. It is one of one. There is no other Luka Doncic rookie card in this Panini set. And it's autographed by Luka. It's got part of his jersey on it. It's a hologram. Can you imagine $4.6 million when you open a pack of cards?
That's insane. Normally, cards that rare don't get put in packs.
Yeah, yeah. These Panini people do it. Now, Logan Paul, who is an obnoxious YouTube star, did a live stream of him opening packages of Pokemon cards. And listen to what happens when he opened a particular pack.
Are you kidding me? Awesome. Oh my God, it's beautiful too. Awesome. It's in such good shape.
All right, so what's that one worth?
That card is called, it is a orange dragon called Charizard. Do I have that right, guys?
Is it Charizard?
Charizard's right, that's right.
Wait a minute, is that really right?
Yes, that's right. It's a Charizard. He's a dragon type.
Charizard. That card, John, worth $2 million.
No.
$2 million for a Pokemon card.
You know what's crazy about the Logan Paul Pokemon card thing is that he kind of like gave like the whole Pokemon card market a big resurgence by doing this. He just decided a couple months ago that he was going to start doing these Pokemon live streams where he's just opening old packs. And so him doing these videos a few months ago, and he's been doing them for a while, have kind of boosted... You know, it's boosted interest in it on YouTube and on social media. So it's like he kind of like set the market himself. And so the fact that I guess a lot of it has to do with the fact that it was a live reveal, since he did it, you know, it's like the unboxing or the unpackaging or whatever, live during a stream that he got it. That's one of the things that boosts the value up by like $500,000. Isn't that crazy?
So how do we buy packs of this stuff?
Let me go store and buy them.
That's what we need, right?
I mean, they sell Pokemon cards everywhere. They sell them at Target. They sell them at Walmart.
Right, but which ones turn out to be worth $2 million? Because I would invest in a bunch of Pokemon packs if I could find one that was worth $2 million.
Well, I think the particular one that he opened was part of one of the original sets. So it was probably, I don't know, 15 years old. So I think that you'd have to buy those special on eBay.
And they're probably really expensive. The packs are probably really expensive.
Sure, but that's not. I know that there's expensive, maybe not $2 million cards, but there's cards that are worth, you know, $10,000 and $20,000 and $30,000 that you could buy in the store today that you could come across.
Hey, if you know where I can buy these packs, 877-710-ESPN. John, would you not invest in packs of these cards?
No.
In the hopes of finding one that's worth $2 million?
I can only invest in things that make sense to me. It's like Lindsay, what are those NBA digital collectibles?
The Top
called?
Shots.
Yeah, like I don't get that.
Which, hey, I got a pack this weekend.
Oh, you got a pack of the video Top Shots?
Yes, because after getting shut out with their...
We should explain this. So the NBA and the NBAPA have invented this new thing where you can buy, just like a trading card, a video moment of a particular player. And these things are selling like crazy. So you got a pack of these video moments. What was the best one you got, Lynch?
Well, just to go back a tiny bit, the NBA and the NBAPA didn't invent this. These NFTs is what they're called. They're non-fungible tokens. They're these crypto collectibles, and they can be like GIFs or videos, or in this case, an NBA Top Shot card, which is a moment. It's like a digital trading card. So they did like a release, I believe it was either Thursday or Friday, where they only had like 10,000 packs available. And there were 200,000 people in queue, like in line, waiting to buy them. I got shut out. No, I got shut out. I know Carlo got shut out. And people were ticked because, you know, people are waiting in line. And there's just like no rhyme or reason as to what your place in line is. They say that they just randomly assign them to you. But people were mad because there were influencers that have big collections that were at the front of the line. And everyone's like, I don't know, it's kind of shady. Anyway, I got a pack over the weekend because they released a bunch of packs to anybody who was willing to sit in line for a couple of hours, which I did. You know, I just did it on my phone and I kept it on. I just kept checking it throughout the day. And after like 5 hours, I finally got a pack.
So what'd you get? What's in it? What's in the
pack? I don't know, because they haven't sent it to me yet, because these were pre-orders.
So you could actually get something really valuable.
I think so. I don't know. I think that they just kind of made these packs available to appease all the people that were ticked off that keep missing out on them.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. I'm supposed to get it in a couple weeks, within the next couple weeks.
All right. Jason's on the phone. Jason, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to give you a little insight on that Luka card. You can't just really buy that pack because it's a Panini. It's like Panini releases a lot of different types of cards. And the one you're talking about, it's called National Treasures. And those literally go for like $5,000 a box, and you get like 3 or 4 cards. And I don't know what the exact odds of pulling that Luka card, but it's probably just as rare as winning the lottery. So it's pretty hard to get that stuff. And those boxes are very expensive, and you never know what you're going to get. So you could get like someone random, like just a random player like Alex Caruso. It's a lot different than Luka. But I just wanted to let you guys know, and enjoy the show. You guys are awesome, and I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So, Mace, it's a wild goose chase, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, you spend a lot for a pack, and then you don't know what you're going to get. Hang on a second. Who is it, Jorge? Josh, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. I've been listening to you for years. But I do outside sales, so I'm in Target all the time. And, like, once every week or once every 2 weeks, there's, like, a bunch of people, like a bunch of dudes, really, just standing out front that wait overnight to buy those Pokemon packs when they come out, because they get a chance to win those cards.
So they're lined up like the night before?
Yeah, it's pretty sad. But, you know, there's like 8 or 10 of them usually per store. And they wait outside, and I go in 7, 8 in the morning, and they're out there like once a week or once every 2 weeks whenever they get released at all the Targets around here.
Do you go after them, or is it just other people?
No, I'm working. I do sales.
Got it.
So they're one of my accounts.
You got no time for Pokemon. All right. Hey, thanks. Hang on a second. We'll get you a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. So,
By the way, my nephew, my 10-year-old nephew, has corrected me. Charizard is not a dragon. I'm thinking of a Dragonite. Charizard is a fire flying Pokemon, just so everyone knows.
All right. Thank you.
Same thing, man.
Do adults play with Pokemon? I mean, what is
I play Pokemon Go, the iPhone game.
Mace, there used to be tournaments of these things.
Is that right?
Yeah,
wow.
You used to battle against your neighbor or whoever. Yeah.
Here is a National Treasures Panini Ja Morant rookie card for $225,000 on eBay.
What? No, thank you.
Here is a 2009 Bowman Chrome Mike Trout Super Factor. $3.94 million. So that's a Mike Trout rookie card from Bowman. And my friend Jason Chu just sent me that. There is money in this stuff, man. There is money in it. I'm going to get me some of that trading card money.
Yeah, good luck.
Maybe my baseball cards are worth that.
Yeah, your 500 Frank Thomas rookie
card. 500 Frank Thomas rookie card. You're damn right. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. I am told it is the highest rated part of the show. So I would say stay here, but you're already going to do that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Lindsay, what do you got for us?
Well, Johnny Manziel's been in the news a little bit lately with his new, what is it called? The fan-controlled football league. But it turns out Johnny Manziel actually has his sights set on joining another profession, and that's becoming a PGA Tour golfer.
Oh, good luck.
The former NFL quarterback revealed on a recent episode of the Green Light with Chris Long podcast that he's interested in becoming a pro golfer. Here is what he said.
I'm giving myself 12 years to try and play professional golf. I'm going to grind this out and see how good I can get and see if I can't, you know, enter in some tournaments and see if I can't go try and play professional golf eventually. I think it is a very uphill battle. But that's what I'm setting for my goals. The next 12, I have 12 years to try and make a PGA Tour event.
Do you guys think that Manziel can reach his goal of playing in a PGA Tour event by the time he's 40? Swipe left or swipe right?
So swipe left, I would be willing to bet top dollar that he never qualifies for a PGA Tour. Do you know how good those guys are?
Yeah.
There is zero chance this happens. None.
Yeah, you don't just casually say, hey, I'm going to play on the PGA Tour. Because who are the athletes that are really good? The athletes that are really good and win those celebrity tournaments. There are a couple of them.
Well, Steph Curry is a great golfer. I don't know if he's good enough to win in on the pro tour. I mean,
John, can you think of any like pro athletes that have dabbled in golf on these celebrity tours that you think would actually make it? Anyone?
Hmm. They have that tournament in Tahoe every year.
Yeah, isn't like Rick Roden one of the guys that does really well?
Yeah, he's won it a bunch of times. You know, there's an actor, a guy named Jack Wagner, who
used to be on General Hospital.
Yeah, who's very good. And you know, people say he could do it, but I still, you know, that even in that celebrity tournament, they move the tees way up and they make it easier. And I mean, there's 125 spots on the PGA Tour. That's it.
Yep.
It's like the top 0.0001% of guys in the world. Johnny Manziel has no chance.
And by the way, after seeing, you know, his discipline in preparing for and being the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, I can't believe all of a sudden that is going to turn into magic in terms of golf.
You know what he could do, though? There's lesser tours, like he could join the Singapore Tour or the Canadian Tour or the Australian Tour. Like if he's willing to completely move all around the world, he might qualify for a lesser event, but he's not making it to the PGA.
Yeah, I'm not betting on Johnny Manziel.
there's professional golfers who do this for a living who miss PGA Tour events, right?
Oh, yeah. And there's guys that like play on the Nike Tour, and that's their job. And, you know, or the buy.com tour, or whatever it's called now. And it's just the purses are much smaller. But to make it to the PGA Tour is a pipe dream, man. That's really hard.
Yeah, if you can't make it as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, who's had the worst quarterbacks in, like, the history of the NFL ever, if you can't even, you know, put together a decent game or two for them, then I don't think that you can
Yeah, somebody just sent me a text. Tony Romo is a great golfer.
Oh, yeah, Tony Romo.
But I don't
that.
Even know if he could do it.
All right, what's next, Lynch?
Next one. Every so often, a successful sports media personality will post something about an unpaid internship or similar opportunity on social media, and then they just get ripped by a whole bunch of people. Usually goes like this. Personality will say, hey, here's an unpaid opportunity. And then complainers will pounce and reply, how dare you support this? People deserve to get paid for their work. And then a bunch of like veteran reporters come out of the woodwork and say, I did 7 unpaid internships and walked uphill 20 miles in the snow for 10 years. And that's how I got my foot in the door. It's kind of an interesting war between the old school and new school. But I wanted to get your thoughts. Do you guys think that unpaid internships are archaic and antiquated? Swipe left or swipe right?
I don't. I think they're great. Here's the problem. We work at ESPN. ESPN offers no unpaid internships. And Mace, it's all because of that Black Swan studio movie case.
Yeah, there were
two
kids
guys
that worked,
sued.
Kids that worked on the movie Black Swan for Darren Aronofsky were unpaid. And later they sued because they weren't paid. And because of that, a lot of companies will not entertain the idea of having unpaid interns. Now, that it's not everybody. There still are unpaid internships out there. And I think, isn't it, he was responding to somebody that had an unpaid internship, wasn't he?
Well, no, wasn't it Jane Slater who posted it, the woman who covers the Cowboys? Yeah.
And she's getting killed. And you know what? I think a lot of people are so automatically associating, you know, okay, if you're one of those people who had an unpaid internship, then you come from a place of privilege. While that may be the case for many of them, I know, like, speaking from my own personal experience, I had to work 3 jobs just to be able to afford to work at that unpaid internship, and I went broke. I racked up a lot of parking tickets because sometimes, you know, you're trying to decide between, well, am I going to park in this place illegally, or am I going to be late to this internship that could possibly lead to a job someday?
Right.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where me and a lot of people around my age were that, it, like, I got the most valuable experience of my entire career during my internship.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't be here without it.
I hung around a station called, when I was in at Bowling Green, hung around a station in Fostoria, Ohio called WFOB. And I started helping them do everything. And eventually, they let me do the farm reports and the news, and I made $150 a week. So just hanging around people who are doing stuff makes all the difference in the world. And like John said, there are some companies, big companies are afraid of doing it, but there are still opportunities out there. And if you get a chance to hang around in sports, eventually somebody could call your number. So it's a really good
right.
way to go.
And I'll put this simply. If you don't do it, somebody else will.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing, the whole hanging around thing. I was an intern at the ESPN affiliate in Cleveland. And I was there, I don't know, I interned for whatever the intern time is, 4, 5, 6 months. And then I just never left. I started doing these minor league reports. I covered the Lake County Captains and the Akron Arrows. And I would send them to the program director every week. And I would write the blogs and everything. And I just think that sports media, it's supposed to be hard. It's a very competitive business. And there aren't a lot of jobs in the field. So I don't think that it's the same as, you know, doctors or teachers or stuff like that. I think that you really have to work hard in this field. And I feel like it's just weird how there's such a divide.
I would say hang around or, you know, ask people for help. You'd be surprised at the people that will help. Like I put out on Twitter that I'll do some podcasts and help people prop up their podcasts. And I probably am doing 20 of them over the next 2 weeks. And it really is only because those people were willing to ask.
Right.
Ask people for help, because people, you'll be surprised the people that will help you.
Yeah. And one more thing on this. My friend, he does like a lot of the audio for Metro and AP. You know, they still do like those stringer audio. He got to a point where he was working at a broadcasting school and he would take a lot of the students under his wing and they would get to go to games like Cavs games and Indians games and go in the locker room and hold their microphone up and get tape from guys like LeBron and, you know, Trevor Bauer and whoever, and they would cut it up and send it back, and he would get paid for it, but the interns, they wouldn't get anything. But one of them quit because he said, oh, if I'm going to keep doing this for you, I want to get paid. And I was like, that kid's an idiot, because he's getting to go into an NBA and MLB locker room every day and, you know, talk with all the reporters and get to interview guys like LeBron. Like, that's an invaluable experience that you're not going to get anywhere else. And you want to get paid? Like, that's crazy.
There's a kid named Chris Towle, or Toll, he's in the Dan Patrick School of Broadcasting. Dan Patrick's got a school. And his final project was he was supposed to interview somebody in sports. And he reached out to me, and I did the interview with him on Friday. That's his final project for the Dan Patrick School of Broadcasting. But, you know, he was willing to ask, and so I was willing to do it. Just ask people for help. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised.
Yep, exactly. All right, one last one here. Hershey's just announced a new product. The company is debuting Reese's Ultimate Peanut Butter Lovers in April 2021, and it's 100% peanut butter. According to a press release, the Ultimate Peanut Butter Lovers are stuffed with the same beloved Reese's peanut butter inside and 100% peanut butter candy-flavored shell on the outside. You've never
There's
seen
no
a Reese's
chocolate
cup.
In it?
No, it's peanut butter outside, peanut butter inside.
Is and this it's made something? By Hershey's.
Yeah, is it something that you would try? Swipe left or swipe right?
Man, I dig peanut butter. I would definitely try it. I like if I'm going to eat candy, if candy is my choice, I always go Reese's. I always go Reese's peanut butter cups. So I would try the peanut butter on the outside, peanut butter on the inside thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd try it. It's just weird that you would buy something from Hershey's that had zero chocolate in it, but I'd try it.
Yeah, I'd definitely give it a go. Definitely give it a go. All right, there you have it. There is your Radio Tinder for today. Coming up next for you, the Lakers pulled out of their losing streak and put together two wins over the weekend. How did they do it? What does it mean? We will get to that coming up next for you. And by the way, something about LeBron that was the most impressive thing about LeBron in this weekend. We'll talk about that coming up. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.